Part 1. Laptop Repair Requests. Good morning, Greenline Community Services. This is Anna speaking. How can I help? Hello, I'm calling because I would like to arrange a diagnostic check for a laptop that shuts down during video calls. I saw the notice online, but I wanted to check the details before I book.
Of course.
For that request, you want the hardware diagnostic appointment. We also have advice tables, but the appointment gives you more time with a volunteer.
That sounds right.
I was worried I had chosen the wrong session because the website lists several different tables.
No problem.
First, can I take your full name, please?
Yes, it's Ethan Wright.
The surname is spelled W-R-G-H-T.
Thank you.
I have you down as a current student. Can I take a contact number in case the volunteer needs to change the time? The number is 7455830612. Let me repeat that because people sometimes mishear it. 7455830612. Great, I have 7455830612.
And the best email address.
Ethan Wright@example.com.
Email is fine for the confirmation, but a phone call is better if anything changes on the day. We had places on 9 February, but that session filled this morning. There's one space on 10 February, although it's quite late in the day.
10 February is difficult for me.
Is there anything later in the month?
Yes, I can book you for 12 February at 3:40 p.m.
That's a quieter slot, so the volunteer should have time to look at the issue properly. 12 February at 3:40 p.m. works well.
Where exactly do I need to go?
I thought it was in the library help desk.
It used to be there, but the room has changed.
The appointment will be in Lab 2C in the Digital Learning Building. We'll put signs at the entrance as well.
Thanks for clarifying.
Is there a charge?
The basic booking fee is £18. Software updates are free, but replacement parts are quoted separately.
That's clear.
What should I bring with me?
Please bring the charger and student card.
The session leader is Miss Ahmed, and the confirmation email will include the same details.
Great.
If I can't attend, what should I do? Please use the online link before midday on the day of the appointment. These appointments are popular, so early cancellation lets us offer the place to someone on the waiting list.
Understood.
So I'm booked for 12 February at 3:40 p.m. in Lab 2C in the Digital Learning Building, and I need to bring the charger and student card.
That's right.
You'll receive the confirmation within 10 minutes.
Is there anything else I can help with?
No, that's everything.
Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
That's the end of part 1. Part 2, Digital Learning Week.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Digital Learning Week. I'll explain the layout and the main changes before you start exploring. The first change is the venue. The event was originally advertised for the Central Library, but it has moved to the Digital Learning Building. Please use the glass atrium entrance. The other doors are for staff and deliveries only. When you arrive, go first to the desk under the large screen. Even if you booked online, you need to collect a program and a small map because several locations changed yesterday. If you need general help, the information point is left of the atrium doors. Refreshments are on the right beside the podcast studio, and they'll be available for most of the day. Now picture the site as a long rectangle with the entrance behind you. On the left as you come in, the first area
is for accessibility tools demonstrations. If you continue along the left side towards the back, you'll reach language learning apps. These areas are easy to confuse because both have volunteers in green shirts, so use the signs rather than the color of the shirts. On the right side, the first section is virtual reality teaching sessions. Further along the right side, in the middle, you'll find study planning software. At the back right, there's the silent testing room at the back right. Please note this correction. Study planning software is in the middle right area, not beside the silent room. Some early programs printed the old position, so check the map you received today. A popular service today is the Device Security Clinic. It was listed as Station 11, but it has moved to Station 24. General guidance is available at Station 8. The staff there can help you choose which activities are most relevant if you have limited time. The opening hours have also changed. Publicity said 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., but today's correct hours are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There will be a short welcome talk at 9:45 a.m. Remember that the security clinic closes at 3:30 p.m., so don't leave that service until the very end. For practical arrangements, please bring a university login. If you complete stamps from 6 activity points, you can enter a draw to win a wireless keyboard. The main demonstration has been moved to 12:50 p.m. because the morning setup took longer than expected. Finally, please move slowly through the narrow sections and leave the quiet area for people who need a break from the crowd. If you're unsure where to go, return to the information point rather than asking staff who are running demonstrations. Enjoy Digital Learning Week and make sure you keep the updated program with you. That's the end of Part 2. Part 3, Research Project on Online Feedback. Come in, Aisha and Leo. I have read your proposal on whether audio feedback helps students revise essays more effectively than written comments. The topic is promising, but the method still needs tightening before you collect more data. That's exactly where we're stuck. I think we should focus on analyzing revision drafts from a small seminar group because it gives us detailed comments and examples. I understand that, but I'm worried the sample will be too small. I would rather collect broader data by surveying students about which feedback format they actually used. Both of you are partly right. I suggest compare draft changes and then use the survey to explain student behavior. The smaller method can show you what to ask, while the wider method can test whether those themes appear beyond a few people. My concern is time. If we do both, we might not finish the analysis properly. Then divide the work clearly. Aisha will compare first and final drafts, and Leo will create the survey and summary charts. Don't both try to do every stage, or you'll duplicate effort and still feel behind. That split is fair, but I'm not sure what to include in the background section. We have too many articles. Start with a teaching study by Morno and Bell. It summarizes the field and will help you select only the studies that connect directly to your research question. What about variables that might affect the result? We discuss some, but we have not listed them in the method. You need to control for essay length, previous grade, and whether English is the student's first language. If you ignore those, your results may look clearer than they really are. I can add those to the survey. I'll also follow your advice to separate usefulness from preference, because students may like feedback they don't use. Good. Piloting will show whether the wording is clear and whether people understand the scale in the same way. We also need to talk about deadlines. The current final deadline is coming too quickly. The original deadline was 2 December. The department will allow an extension to 9 December, but you must request it by 26 November. That helps, but you still need to see something before the final version, don't you?
Yes.
Send me a substantial draft by 4 December. It should include the introduction, method, and at least some early analysis. Could we meet again before that? I would like feedback on the interview coding. Let's meet on Wednesday, the 20th. Bring one coded interview extract and the survey draft, even if they aren't perfect. Should we change the research question to make it easier? Don't change the central question yet. Narrow the evidence instead. A focused mixed methods project is better than a broad project with shallow data. That makes sense. I'll keep the interviews focused on examples, not general opinions. And I'll make the survey shorter so people actually finish it.
Exactly.
Your aim isn't to collect the maximum amount of data. It's to collect data that answers your question clearly. That's the end of part 3. Part 4, lecture on adaptive learning systems.
Good morning.
Today's lecture is about adaptive learning systems in higher education. This subject matters because of the growth of large courses where individual feedback is difficult to provide quickly. In many discussions, it's treated as a technical issue, but it also affects behavior, cost, planning, and public expectations. A useful term here's adaptive sequencing. By this, I mean software choosing the next task based on a learner's recent performance. The definition is important because it moves us away from thinking about one isolated product or site and towards a system of decisions. One sector where this is visible is university teaching and assessment. In that sector, small choices often accumulate. A single decision may not seem significant, but repeated across a campus, workplace, or city, it changes cost, risk, and the experience of people using the space. Evidence is developing. For example, a trial in an introductory statistics course found higher completion rates for students who received targeted practice sets. This doesn't prove that every intervention will work everywhere, but it shows that carefully designed changes can produce measurable benefits when they fit the local context. There are limitations. The software can measure answer patterns more easily than motivation, confidence, or creativity. This point is often missed in public debate. People like simple solutions, but environmental and social systems rarely respond to one action on its own. The main barrier is staff time needed to design reliable question banks. Even when the evidence is persuasive, organizations have budgets, habits, and competing priorities. That's why implementation often depends on leadership as much as on technical knowledge. A practical example comes from an engineering faculty that reduced tutorial repetition after using diagnostic quizzes before class. The success came not from a slogan, but from changing the everyday process. People were given a simpler route to make the better choice, and the organization measured the result. Policy also has a role. One useful approach is clear rules about data privacy and human review of automated recommendations. Such policies don't remove the need for judgment, but they make long-term thinking part of ordinary decisions rather than an optional extra. To conclude, the implication is that adaptive systems work best as support for teachers rather than as replacements for teaching. For students and professionals, the key lesson is to ask how a system behaves over time, who carries the cost, and which small decisions make the desired behavior easier. That's the end of part 4.